Manx Radio's 2016 election coverage.
Now on the programme, we speak to another election 2016 candidate. Today we're joined by 50-year-old Bill Shimmins, who's announced that he'll be contesting the now two-seat constituency of Middle. Good afternoon, Bill, and welcome to the programme.
Good afternoon, Stu.
Tell the listeners who Bill Shimmins is. Just tell us a bit about yourself.
I've lived in the constituency in Glenvine for 13 years. I've just recently retired from my banking career, which has lasted 34 years, the last five and a bit years. I was the managing director of Isle of Man Bank, and I care deeply about the island, and I hope to bring professionalism, capability and expertise to the job.
So from what you've said, somebody else then who started work at 16?
Yes, indeed. Yes.
Okay, because you assume that somebody that rises to the top level of a bank went away to university for however many years or whatever. You worked your way up through the ranks, did you?
I did. I went to college whilst I was working, and this is a very long time ago now, but when I was working in the west of Scotland, I went to a couple of different colleges in the evening, and I got additional qualifications, and I actually ended up winning some prizes in the professional exams. And as a result of that, I suspect I was packed off to London, and I spent 12 years in the City of London, which was a very interesting and good development time for me.
Sure. You say that you've got a passion for the social and economic welfare of the island. Is politics the best way to use that passion?
I think the economic situation in Ireland directly impacts on the social well-being of the island. So yes, I do think that the politics has a direct bearing on all our well-being.
Okay. You also say that you take a decisive and responsive approach in business. How would that translate into the political arena? Because a lot of people would say, well, hang on a minute, as head of Isle of Man Bank in the Isle of Man, you must have overseen the closure of an awful lot of branches, which was unpopular, wasn't it, amongst customers. So would you take the same approach to politics if you were a member of government?
Please let me reassure you. I've had to make some difficult decisions, and I guess to reflect changing social trends. And when you're in a senior job, or you put yourself forward for public office, you need to be able to make decisions. And many of the frustrations that people have about the government of the last 5 years has been they've contemplated lots of things, but they haven't actually made decisions. So in terms of how I make decisions, you know, I look at the various options that are available, consider the impact on individuals and others, but then we agree the way forward and we implement. And you then follow up and monitor progress with leaders and teams to ensure we see we do what we're going to do.
Yeah. Do you think that's been one of the problems of the current administration, the fact that there's been an awful lot of talking and debate about pretty much everything under the sun, but not much progress?
I think they've struggled with a number of the challenges that we've faced, and the tangible decisions have been difficult, and there's been a number of examples of that. You only need to look at the horse trams and the various carry-ons we've had in different aspects. So yes, broadly, I think it has been disappointing, and that's one of the reasons I put myself forward, because I think I can help with more decisive government to meet the challenges that we face.
When you say you want to help by being part of more decisive government, I mean, would that be as an independent member of the House of Keys, voting with your conscience on things, or would you hope to get more of a job within government where you could take more executive action?
I would like to help, whether that's as a backbencher or as part of a government department. I have no particular personal ambition. All I want to do is help. And I think in government, you do need to get consensus on things. And we've struggled, I think, in the last 5 years to get that consensus. And in many ways, that's quite like working in large organisations, which tend to be quite difficult to navigate. And you need to bring people with you and agree to do things for the common good. So very much I would bring that approach if I was elected.
You do, but in a corporate environment, there's usually some sort of a hierarchy whereby if you're the boss, you can try and take people with you. But at the end of the day, it's your decision and people have got to either put up with it or leave. That's not the case with politics, is it? It's much more consensus-based.
It is a consensus base, and that's what I would be looking to bring to politics if I was elected. In terms of business, yes, there is a hierarchy approach, but actually you need to bring people with you, because just because you make a decision doesn't necessarily mean it's always going to get implemented. So you need to communicate that decision, and then you need to follow through effectively, which is what I do.
What are the biggest threats to the Isle of Man that we've got to face over the next 5 years?
We have some challenges on the demographics. As you know, we have an ageing population, and there's a lot of concern that potentially the population is declining. So,
let me just butt in there. Does it surprise you that this seems to have been arrived at quite late, the fact that we've got an ageing population? I mean, surely that's the job of actuaries over the years, isn't it, to predict that kind of thing? It seems as though it's only over the last 5 or 10 years that anybody's realised that this is happening.
It doesn't surprise me, and the key thing is that we need to plan. It should not be a surprise to us. What I think we have seen over the last 5 years is a number of people leaving the island, and that's a concern for me, and that's something I think we need to reverse, and we need to grow the working population and the economically active population on the island, because that's how we will generate the additional income to pay for our much-needed public services.
But can politicians have much of an impact on that? Because, I mean, you know, like you say, with your own bank closing branches, then maybe people left the island after that. That's not necessarily something that government can have much of a hand in, is it?
Since you mentioned the branch closures again, can I just make two brief points on that? The majority of customers of banks prefer to do their banking in the comfort of their own homes rather than queue up in a bank. Secondly, the Isle of Man Bank has a mobile branch which visits across the island to meet the needs of our customers, which no other bank here does. So for me, going back to the original point about what can politicians do to influence the economy, I think there's a number of things we can do, and it is absolutely vital that we take action, because it's our public services which are at threat. Now, there's a few things which you can, really practical things which you can do quickly to drive growth of the economy. First of all, we could look at the work permit regime. A relaxation of the work permit regime would be helpful to grow the economy. We could reduce the costs of telecoms and energy. We could also look at how we're implementing the Enterprise Development Fund.
All right. I mean, let me just stop you there. Could we reduce the cost of telecoms and energy? Because Manx Telecom is a private company. You know, Shure is a private company. Government can only have so much influence there, can't it?
They are private companies. But everybody knows, Stuart, that the cost here is much higher than our neighbours. I mean, generally the service is good and it's reliable. Because it's so much more expensive, it's very off-putting for businesses who are looking to expand and grow and hire more people. It's also not great for our island residents.
Sure. And also the work permit thing, you know, you're saying, and this is something that I've heard from a number of business leaders over the years, that we ought to relax the work permit legislation. A lot of people, you know, listening to this might say, hang on a minute, that just would be an open door then to anybody that wants to come in and take Manx jobs.
I think it's important to understand that if you look at our unemployment numbers, we are really lucky here, yeah, in that the unemployment is less than 2%. And for many, many months, the number of job vacancies at the job centre has been much higher than the number of people unemployed. And there's a range of measures that we could take in the work permit regime just to make it work more effectively. It's very bureaucratic, it's quite costly, and it's very off-putting for people who want to create new jobs. And new jobs are what we want, and that helps Manx people as well as people who potentially could come to the island to help us grow the economy.
All right. I'm preaching to the choir now by saying that, you know, as a country, we've got to do two things. We've either got to grow the economy or we've got to cut our costs. Where do you think the emphasis should be?
You'll not be surprised to hear that I believe we should be growing the economy. I think we can cut our costs. I think we can spend our money a bit more wisely in terms of some of the projects which have not gone well. We need to learn from those. And then we need to be looking at some of the things that government does and really challenge ourselves. Are they essential? But fundamentally, we need to grow the economy. That is the key for us to continue to succeed.
And how can we do that? I mean, this is a question that I'm asking most candidates because, you know, we have a unique position. We've got our low tax jurisdiction, which is a big draw, clearly. Mm-hmm. But there's not much else. And there are an awful lot of things. You mentioned the high cost of telecoms and energy, for example, that militate against companies wanting to relocate here, surely.
Sure. And I guess my previous experience has given me a really good understanding of some of the challenges facing businesses here and also individuals. So I would be looking to review the regulation and the pricing for these important utilities because it's very difficult to have competition on energy and telecoms in such a small market. But they do need to be aligned, even though they're private companies, they need to be aligned to the objectives of the island, which is to grow our economy and grow jobs. I think it also would give potentially local families some much needed money back in their pockets.
All right. What sort of industries could we bring into the island that we're not already approaching?
Okay. Well, we have a diverse economy at the moment, which is great. So, but it provides a number of opportunities for growth. I'm very interested in the IT sector, the biomed sector, financial services. Despite all the doom and gloom that you potentially hear, there's still good opportunities in financial services, and a number of financial services businesses here are growing. So there's a raft of areas. I personally believe that government's role is to set the environment to enable businesses to prosper for the benefit of the island.
Brexit, some people are scared to death by it. Some people say that it could open up all sorts of opportunities that we're not even aware of yet. Where do you stand on that?
Brexit is a concern, and you know, I understand the anxiety that it causes. It's relatively early, and I am asking that the private sector and government work closely together to plan, ensure that we are really well prepared for whatever the outcomes on Brexit. One of the potential outcomes is a fairly rapid recession in the UK, and that's likely to impact on LMAN. That's why I think it's very important that we understand what our options are, and also there are some buttons and some levers that we can pull to give us a short-term boost, which we might well need. And that's why I'm recommending a number of things about work permits and energy and other levers that potentially could help us.
Okay. You mentioned earlier on that you're worried about people leaving the island, especially young people leaving the island. Yeah. With an ageing population, that surely is a major threat to us. And so what's the answer to that?
I do think we need to stress the joys of the Isle of Man a bit more effectively, that all the quality of life factors, the commute, the outdoor life that we have here, the great place to bring up children. We've got so much to offer. I think sometimes we need to be a bit more targeted and a bit more intelligent about how we do that.
Would you be in favour of spending some serious money on some sort of an advertising campaign maybe to attract businesses? Because, you know, you mentioned the quality of life issues, and we take them for granted after a while, don't we?
Yeah.
But, you know, to somebody who spends an hour and a half on the daily commute every day to their office, who's in a position to influence where that office might be located, by just saying, you know, your daily commute will be down to 10 minutes on a bad day, how do we get that message over?
I think I absolutely agree with that. I used to get on Britain's most overcrowded train,
yes,
you know, between Brighton and the city, and people would faint standing up because, yeah, they couldn't fall over. So it needs to be targeted. And actually, I think a lot of the targeting can be close to hand. I do sometimes wonder whether jumping on lots of planes to China and India and other places is really the best option for us. So I am very positive about what we can offer. I think we also need to talk to young people and understand why they are leaving. Mm. I think that would be a really good start, and also it perhaps incentivise young people, graduates from the Isle of Man, to come back. If you look at the student loan scheme that everyone now has, I potentially would think that if someone comes back after graduating across, works here for 3 years, perhaps we could write off their loan. You know,
okay,
provide a real incentive for people.
Do you think
to come?
That? I mean, that's something that government could do, isn't it? In terms
it
of trying to change the way that
practical
things are working.
Things that,
yeah,
we
practical
can
things.
Practical
things like tax breaks, for example. So somebody goes off to university, yeah, comes back, and they get, you know, reduced tax for 5 years or something,
yeah,
like that in return for some sort of commitment.
I absolutely think, you said earlier, can you really influence things? Mm. You can't control everything, of course you can't, but you can influence. You can steer. You can encourage.
And are you an ideas person? Because we've got plenty of people who sort of sit in the House of Keys at the moment and nod things through, and not that many people who seem to come up with fresh ideas, fresh thinking.
Oh, Stu, I'm a banker. You know, I'm not going to claim to be an ideas blue sky thinker. What I am very good at is conducting things in a professional, business-like way and challenging and ensuring things actually happen. So I listen to other people. I weigh up their ideas. I'm not the most creative person, to be frank.
Okay. Well, what are you finding on the doorstep when you talk to people? What are the things that people around the constituency are particularly worried about? Is it constituency issues or is it national issues?
Well, there's a variety. It's been really interesting for me. You know, I've listened to the commissioners in all three parishes. So we've got Braddon, we've got Maroun, we've got Santon, and I've tested their views with the ratepayers. There's some common themes. The state of the roads is a real concern, speeding. And you know, clearly, if elected, I will engage with the police, local authorities to help drive improvement. There's some individual local parish issues, which again, I will assist with. You know, people in Santon don't have a shop, a convenience store. They're desperate for Mount Murray to be redeveloped. I'll help with that. If I look at Maroun, again, we don't have a shop in Maroun. There's some really busy roads that we could do with some traffic lights in Crosby desperately. So,
but on those areas that the commissioners ought to deal with, shouldn't you be looking at blue sky thinking, looking at international issues or things that affect the whole island rather than things that affect your own parish?
I will be supporting the commissioners and encouraging them to work effectively together as well across the constituency. Absolutely. The role encompasses local aspects. Looking after your constituents is very important, but also I think I can add considerable value on national and international issues.
Do you think that politicians are good at communicating with people? They all seem to get better at it in the run-up to an election, but do you think that the MHKs are good at communicating with people?
I think it can be improved. I think it can always be improved. And I think some are better than others.
How would you do it? Would you do it with surgeries? Would you do it with social media or newsletters? How could you communicate things better?
A variety of channels, I think, is helpful. I think social media, yes, but not everybody is online. So surgeries locally, I think, are also important. So I would do that. I don't think there's any single magic way of communicating. You just got to do a lot of it, and also be consistent about what you say and repeat the message so actually people understand it. And also treat people like adults. Take their views on board. Ask them what they think.
Okay. But the thing is that a lot of people elect an MHK because they want the MHK to do the thinking for them almost. We trust our elected representatives generally to make the right decisions. So, you know, how much consultation should you do? And how much should you just take a lead on things and say to people afterwards, this is what I've decided, this is what I voted for, here's why, like it or hate it?
It's a balance. And I think you do need to make a decision. So I think it's wrong not to consult. I don't think you have to consult on everything. I think we have seen some really quite odd consultations over the last few years on relatively minor matters, and sometimes you do have to make some decisions. And I think also you need to accept that some of these decisions might not be popular, but at the end of the day, that is what we're paid to do. Yeah. And that is the responsibility which I believe that I can discharge effectively for the people of Middle and the island.
You've got concerns about our transport links. Isn't that just something that's driven by the market, though? Is that anything that politicians can really have much of a hand in?
Yeah, it's a difficult area because I'm not in the camp of we should take a stake or we should nationalise the ferry or airline company. And a lot of jurisdictions have done that. But, you know, we are struggling to resurface roads. You know, we're closing Foxdale for 9 months. Running an airline or a shipping company is a very complex business. I'm just not sure we have the capability to do that. What I do think we can do, and what I would do and recommend we do, is engage with multiple private sector operators and ensure that we are negotiating proactively and looking at our national interests in this.
Okay. And do you think that we could maybe work smarter in terms of negotiations? Because the authorities would probably say, oh, we're in constant negotiation with different air operators or whatever. But it's down to numbers at the end of the day. You know, it's all very well saying that it'd be nice to have a daily service to Stornoway, but, you know, frankly, there'd only be one person on it, maybe on a Thursday. So it's never going to work.
Yeah, we have to accept there are some limitations in terms of the number of people we have here. But I think we also need to acknowledge that the current situation is not good in terms of particularly our air links with London, which are infrequent and unreliable in comparison to the past. So personally, I believe that we should be negotiating. I understand it's not the most straightforward thing to do, but we have an obligation to do it. We cannot just accept a mediocre service.
Okay. The next Parliament might include an awful lot of new faces as a percentage because a lot of the old guard have just stood down this time. Does that worry you in that, you know, it's going to take some time for everybody to find the feet and to be able to work in a cohesive way?
I think it's an opportunity for perhaps a fresh approach, a more joined up, cohesive approach would be my hope. I sense that there is growing awareness that we need to up our game, and I'm hoping very much that the new Parliament can do that and work together.
Okay. I mean, you also say a lot of people who are standing because they want to change the system. They think that the system is broken. You say that that isn't really a priority at the start of the next Parliament.
In terms of constitutional reform, broadly, I'm supportive of the Liz Fain report and the recommendations. And you can always improve on any system. I'm not convinced that it's a year one priority. I think we've got more pressing matters to deal with. And if I look at some of the key drivers, I think the quality of the people that we elect will actually be much more important than tinkering with the system.
Okay. Do you think that maybe this current administration's done too much tinkering?
I think there has been a fair number of challenges and they've struggled to get momentum and tinkering. There's been a lot of internal discussion where actually we need to be a bit more dynamic, a bit more forward-looking for the sake of the Isle of Man.
All right. You say that MHKs should elect the Chief Minister rather than the public. Would you rule out MLCs voting, for example?
There are a number of different options in terms of how we would elect the Chief Minister. Again, I do not see that as a key priority. You know, it feels almost very internal. I think that the general public are more focused on health, education, the factors that matter to them, rather than the internal workings of Tynwald. That's not to say it couldn't be improved. It could be improved, and yes, we can do that. And over the next 5 years, we should look to improve. But there are more important things that we should be channeling our energies on.
You say that middle-income earners have borne the brunt of charges and fees over the last 5 years. Would you seek to redress that balance? And what's your position, for example, on the tax cap? Do you think that that's a scheme that's worked or not?
Middle-income earners have taken a lot of the brunt of additional charges, and that has affected their the standard of living, the amount of money they have at the end of each week to get by on, and that is difficult. It is the same across large parts of Europe, so we need to acknowledge that. In terms of generally how we spread the burden, my approach is let's grow the economy, the number of people that are here, that we've got more people here contributing, paying tax, then that is the best way to fund our public services.
Okay. And what about the tax cap? Do you think that that's a fair system? Do you think it's a benefit to the Isle of Man generally?
I think if you look at the tax cap, all jurisdictions have a similar arrangement. We need to remember that, and we're in competition with other jurisdictions for high net worth individuals to come. You can always look at increasing, decreasing. It's a very fine judgment in some cases. So my view would be what we need to look at is the benefits that these people bring to the island. And there are a number of examples where people have brought a lot of benefit to the island and they've been attracted by the tax cap. I can understand that it, for people who are struggling financially, it can seem unfair. And so it is right that we would continue to challenge ourselves, is it appropriate? But as long as, on balance, it is bringing more jobs, more income, and more things to the island that we want, yes, I would be in support of retaining it.
All right, and very quickly, you favour a universal system for financial support and benefits, for example, rather than means testing. That's quite unusual in this day and age.
I'm not in favour of extending means testing further. So why is that? I'm concerned about the cottage industry, the administration costs of the various different forms of mean testing we have. We've got a variety of uncoordinated criteria across different departments. I don't think it's an efficient way to do it. And if you look at the TV licence situation, I've met many angry people about the TV licence, and I actually question whether it's going to save us the money that it is intended to do, because I've met so many proud pensioners who've never claimed benefits in their life who are now saying, we are going to take claim benefits. So I think in many ways...
it works against you.
I think it does work. And really, you know, can we think about how this could pan out?
All right, I need to stop you there because we're out of time. But in 10 seconds, tell the people of Middle why they should vote for Bill Shimmins.
I will help us meet the challenges that we face. I care. That's why I'm standing. And I will bring professional capability and expertise. I'm energetic and I'm a man who gets things done.
Candidate for Middle, Bill Shimmins, thank you for joining us today.
Keep up to date with the latest House of Keys General Election 2016 coverage on manxradio.com.